News now.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our very special guest today is Dave Winogrand, the outgoing Defense Department Deputy Chief Information Officer. Dave, thank you as always so much for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Jason.
So you got a new position. You're going to be in the Chief Management Officer's office. Discuss that new position. What's your new role going to be? When's your first day?
Well, I'm really excited about it. I'm going to be the Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer working for Beth McGrath, our Deputy Chief Management Officer here at DOD. DOD has a structure where they have a Deputy Chief Management Officer in other federal agencies that would look a little bit like the Undersecretary for Management. It's an area that really sort of plays to my strengths and passions. And if you look at the Deputy Chief Management Officer job, it's all about the sort of the parts of traditional CIO work that I have found most interesting. Strategy, performance management, business process change, business operations, how do you improve things? And so all of those things are clearly, as they say, playing to my strengths. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to have gotten this new job. And we're working on the transition. We're still hopeful that Terry Takei is going to come on board as the new DOD CIO. And so we're working on when's the right day for me to leave here and when would she show up and those sorts of things. But sometime in the next few weeks, let's say, we'll be moving into the new job. And it's been a great ride here, but it really is a neat opportunity for me.
The decision to leave the CIO's office is a pretty hard one. You've been in the CIO's office really for most of your career, at least over the last decade in the DOD CIO's office between the Navy and the OSD.
Yeah, that's true. And apparently there's like a statute of limitations because I was noticing that I did 4 years as the deputy CIO for the Navy and then 4 years as the CIO for the Department of the Navy, and now I've been doing the deputy CIO job for DOD for 4 years. So apparently that's like the limits of my attention span. Now, I think these are the kinds of jobs where it really is. They're interesting jobs. They're hard work. You get a lot done. And it's really kind of nice to have new opportunities present themselves. And again, you know, this sort of business process change stuff is some of the stuff I really enjoyed doing back in the days of being the Navy CIO. And before I got into the CIO kind of business back in 98, you know, I'd spent most of my career up until that point being involved in business process change, process improvement, those kinds of change management kinds of jobs. So it's sort of playing to some of the strengths of my whole career.
Can you talk a little bit about the new job you're going to have? Because it seems like it's meshing your previous career, your kind of before CIO, and now your current CIO work. It seems to be meshing the two together in many ways.
Absolutely. I think it's a great way to sort of get some of these fundamental changes in place. I was really excited when Beth McGrath offered me the job because, again, I think that, you know, the future for us is all about how do you deliver information capabilities more rapidly, more effectively. And that's a world where you don't just leap to the decision to build a big IT system, but instead you take a look at your processes and you figure out how you can optimize those processes and you think about what the outcome is that you want to achieve. And then as you go through that process mapping, process improvement kind of work, then you can figure out how to insert technology and you could make more informed choices about when's the right time, you know, to go build a web service, when's the right time to go get a managed service, when's the right time that you actually want to get caught software and then use it, and when do you need to do custom development and things like that. So it all wraps in really nicely. Beth's office has a number of big responsibilities. They have a number of statutory responsibilities. They own all the big business IT systems. They own the improvement of business processes across the department. They have the responsibility for business process reengineering for the Department of Defense. They have the lead for the IT acquisition reform work that we're doing in response to the congressional language that we got. And so there's a whole lot of places where all of my experiences for the last decade will be really helpful, I think, as we forge ahead about, you know, how do you be a 21st century information age organization.
Do you know yet exactly what you'll be working on, or is that something that's going to kind of feel yourself through it as you kind of get into it?
Well, I should be looking after that whole portfolio with Beth. I will be her deputy, so I will, you know, she's the deputy chief management officer, and I'll be her deputy, in DOD speak, the assistant deputy chief management officer. So we'll work that big portfolio of work together.
But there's nothing like one area, for instance, you won't work on, let's say, the big systems or the business process reform. There will be nothing that's going to be kind of in your wheelhouse. You'll just kind of have a hand in a lot of the different things that the office does?
Yeah, it'll sort of be like over here. I'll help manage the whole portfolio with her.
Okay. Well, obviously, and things will kind of shape themselves as over time as you kind of get into one thing and she gets into another thing, or is other people in your office?
So. I think that's what you inevitably do. So, you know, Beth's very excited. Beth had been the assistant deputy chief management officer before she was nominated to be the Department of Defense's first deputy chief management officer. And then when she was confirmed by the Senate for that job, that's when she came and asked me if I would come and take her old job as the deputy. So she has worked in the job that I now hold for a couple of years before she got promoted up. And so I think we'll sit down together and figure out what's the best way to run the business together.
That's always a challenge, kind of taking over someone who used to hold your job and who now be your boss because of that idea of, well, that's not the way I did it. You kind of, there'll be, I'm sure, some challenging and just feeling that out and kind of getting used to each other, the rhythms, if you will, of each other and the way everyone works.
I think it'll go really well because she has been my closest partner, I would say. You know, if you look at sort of a traditional CIO portfolio, I would say that some of those responsibilities have lived with her, some of those responsibilities have lived with me. So of all the other DOD organizations, I would say the DCMO team is the team that the DOD CIO team has worked most closely with over the last few years. So she and I have a great rapport, a great working relationship. So I think all that will happen really seamlessly. The CIO team takes care of, for example, architecture across the entire department. So what's the sort of strategic layer of the enterprise architecture that everyone has to comport to? And then her team's job is to build out the architecture for the business enterprise part of the department, the business mission area. And so we partnered great in that kind of work. We partnered on work about standards, partnered on work about she owns all the business systems. So CIO's view, DCMO's view about, you know, what makes for an effective system and are they performing well. So it's just a really great fit, both in terms of past responsibilities and a great working relationship with her.
So the big question everyone is interested in is not just your new job, but who's going to kind of take over as the new DOD CIO. There's a lot of discussion about where, you know, once Terry Takei's nomination was pulled, is she out of the running? Some people I've heard from other sources who say that actually, well, she doesn't need to be confirmed because she'll no longer be an assistant secretary, but she still is in the running to be CIO. Can you give us any kind of status check? Do we still expect her to come on board? And if so, when?
Absolutely. Let me try to help because you're right. There's been this story that's been out in the media and it's gotten a lot of traction and it's not exactly like the story about what's going on. So I'll try to clear up as best as I can. So the Secretary of Defense announced that there are many things he would like to try to get done. One of the big things is to try to get efficiencies out of the overhead side of the business so that you can deliver more direct dollars to the warfighting mission of the department. And so that spawned a lot of look at organizational structures. He has been adamant in all of his speeches that what he's looking for is to have a strengthened DOD CIO. If you look at the testimony that the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bill Lind, gave the week before last, before the Senate Armed Services Committee, he was adamant about having a strengthened CIO. So these rumors about, you know, the CIO team all goes away aren't what the leadership is saying. What the leadership has been consistent in saying is we're going to look for ways to gain efficiencies, but the intent is to have a DOD CIO who still reports to the Secretary of Defense and has the right set of responsibilities to carry out the mission of an effective CIO. And it's our hope that Terry Takei will still come. As you pointed out, the job title used to be two job titles. That person had two jobs. They had the job of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Networks and Information Integration and the job of the DOD CIO. That job title of Assistant Secretary of Defense is going away. And so the DOD CIO job will not be a Senate-confirmed position. It'll still be a political position, but not Senate-confirmed. And so the withdrawing of her nomination was just a formality because it's no longer that ASDNII job. So it's still our hope that she'll come and be the DOD CIO and all of that sort of working right now. So you're going to have to sort of stay tuned for that. You're also going to have to stay tuned. I know this is like, you know, this is not good radio when you say stay tuned, but stay tuned for the next episode when you hear what's going to happen with the reorganization, because once the secretary made his announcement about wanting to look at ways to gain efficiencies in the IT space, there's now been teams working on how would that play out. And so you need to give the team a little bit more time to finish that analysis work, because the secretary will make some decisions about how to do that organizational realignment in another month or so. So still some work to be done before you get the final announcements about how it's all going to play out. But it really is important that we get the message out that the idea is there'll be a CIO. CIO still work for the Secretary of Defense, have the right team, the right staff in order to get the mission done of being a CIO. Take a look at U.S. Cyber Command. They're responsible for operating and defending the network. So do we have the right kind of functions there? Look at the work that's being done by DISA. Look at the work being done by the Joint Staff. Look for opportunities to consolidate where it makes sense and to put things in the right lane so that we have effective policy, we have effective operations, we have effective acquisition and engineering. And so it's that sort of delineation of how could you maybe reorder who does what in a way that makes it more effective, helps us create this vision of an integrated DoD information enterprise while also delivering savings while getting rid of, you know, maybe duplication of efforts and stuff. So all that's working. But again, the idea is to have a CIO. Still have a CIO and still have an empowered CIO team that can actually do the job of being a CIO.
It's interesting because I don't think anyone ever thought that the CIO was quote unquote going away. It was always that CIO office in OSD or the way it looks now with the ASD and II and the CIO kind of merged together. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion happened. I have to say, I even got a couple emails from somebody in your office who said, actually, the CIO office is not going away. We actually had a very interesting conversation, and it really helped me out to understand the broader picture. We're going to have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk a little more about the changes coming to the CIO's office. You are listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dave Winogrand, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation. You can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dave Winogrand, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO. Now, Dave, before break, we talked a lot about the changes that are coming to both your role in the Defense Department, but also to the CIO's office. The one thing that you mentioned, there's a working group that was formed, and what the working group is doing, kind of doing the analysis. And you said about another month or so, maybe a little more. So we're talking about maybe November timeframe when we'll hear something from Secretary Gates. Can you give us any kind of idea of who's on the group?
We got a good group of folks working this, and I'm part of the effort. There's a couple things that are being done. We're looking at the organizational structures of all the organizations that are involved in the information technology space, and we're also working on the Secretary's goal of trying to finish the consolidation of IT that's been sort of ongoing in DoD, and how would that look? And so, you know, the Secretary's goal is to have all this work done so that we're into implementation by the end of the calendar year. So he'll be looking at, you know, analysis work and making choices as we roll out the rest of the calendar year. And so stay tuned, because in another month or two we should see, you know, some outcomes and expected timelines for implementation and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, I know there's a lot of interest and a lot of stories as we've talked about going on. So we will obviously something to everybody will be following up on. I'm sure you'll be right in the middle of it. I want to talk about your other role. We talked a lot about your role as CIO and your new role as the Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer. You also were vice chairman of the CIO Council for the federal government. Do we know who's going to take over for you yet?
It is the end of an era for me. I've been honored to be working with the CIO Council for a long time now. I've been the vice chair for about 5 years of the federal CIO Council, which I think is a record. And so that's been a great opportunity. And before that, I was involved in the council as co-chair of the Best Practices Committee and stuff. So I've had this relationship with the federal CIO Council for 8 or so years now, and it's been a great run. You know, we've done a lot, and it's challenging to get things done when you have large organizations that are composed of a bunch of different organizations, right? So when you have a team structure like a council and it's involved with different agencies, to find alignment, common purpose, and drive to some actual conclusions is always a challenging thing to do. And I look back on the time and I'm just really thrilled. You know, I got to spend several years working with Karen Evans. It was a lot of fun, and now continuing on with Vivek Kundra. I mean, if you look at some of the things that we've done, you know, we did the Enterprise Licensing Agreement, the DoD Enterprise Software Initiative morphing into the Federal Government Smart Buy Initiative. We did the data at rest encryption software licensing contract vehicles, where every federal, state, and local government in the country could buy, you know, leverage the buying power of the entire federal government to get the best deals on data at rest encryption. The work that we've done to do what was at that time called the Federal Desktop Core Configuration, to secure versions of operating systems like Microsoft and Red Hat and Apple, and now it's called U.S. Government Configuration Baseline, the U.S. GCB now instead of the FDCC, but having secure versions of operating systems, the work that's been done to take the DoD Common Access Card and the idea about having a smart card with PCI credentials and making it a federal government-wide initiative in Homeland Security Presidential Directive 12, actually moving out on that. And now, you know, to have built on that, to having the PIV interoperability standard so that our industry partners could build to the same standard that our DoD and federal government smart cards are too, so that, you know, we can continue to build that web of trust with your strategic partners. Boy, the list goes on and on. The architecture work, laying out a federal enterprise architecture and a practical guide to service-oriented architecture, all of the work that Vivek and the team have been doing recently to try to get better open government and the sharing of data. And one of my, you know, things I've been really proud about in the last year, well, actually two things. One is sort of techno, and so people might not know a lot about it, but, you know, for the first time in the history of the government, we aligned the entire federal DoD and civilian side of federal government to a single set of security controls. And so, you know, throughout history, DoD had had a separate set of security controls from the civilian agencies, and working through the Committee for National Security Systems and the federal CIO team, we've aligned to a single NIST set of security controls for the entire government, which is just, like, really helpful to all of our industry partners because they can build to a standard approach for everyone. And it's really helpful to me personally because it's helping to raise the bar of security at all agencies. And likewise, the Net Generation Workforce Guide that the council just put out is something I'm really proud of. This idea about do you really need to lead by example in terms of being an employer of choice for the best and the brightest that are coming to work for us now. And this millennial workforce, this net generation workforce, you know, the good news is they have a yen for public service. They want to have jobs where they can make a difference. So we ought to be in their scopes. And one of the ways you'll be in the scope of the best and the brightest is if you have the right kind of environment where you're giving them the right kind of tools to get their job done, and you've thought through what are their values and desires, and are you structuring that kind of a work experience for them. So I'm real happy with the Net Generation Workforce Guide. I think it has value far beyond just the CIO Council. I think any federal manager should read it to get an idea. In fact, I would say even in the private sector, you ought to read it because it's got some great stuff that we did with Don Tapscott and the Engineero team about the values and norms and beliefs of the Net Generation. We haven't picked a new vice chair yet. The council has to vote on that. Hopefully that'll happen soon.
And obviously, you still have that one eye toward the CIO Council as your new role in the Deputy Chief Management Officer's office will have a lot of a big IT component. So what they do, the decisions that are made, will still have a pretty big impact on what you do in your new role.
Yes. And I think there's two really important touch points. The one is this finishing up of consolidation. What's the best way to align organizations in terms of buying power and in terms of consolidation, everything from consolidating data centers to commodity buying agreements and things like that? And that's a space in DoD that the Chief Management Officer team and the Chief Information Officer team work on together. And likewise, we want to have that kind of partnership across the federal government. And then again, this idea about reforming IT acquisition. It has huge power for us. In my mind, this idea that we've grown used to in the last few years or last decade or so, where the answer is always to build another big IT system, is not necessarily the way of the future. And so if you could figure out ways to bring agility and speed, you could get capabilities in the hands of the, you know, of your user population much more quickly, and you could stay ahead of the pace of technology. And that's the kind of change that inside of DoD, the Chief Management Officer team has the lead for, working with our acquisition team and our CIO team. And all of these ideas about how you might manage money differently, how you might think about requirements differently, how you might think about contracting and governance, obviously have applicability on the federal scale. And so we're working really closely with Vivek and the rest of the OMB team to help make sure that the ideas that we come up with the DoD are available for others too. So yeah, I think there'll be continuing opportunities to partner with the rest of the federal team.
We talked a little bit about this earlier, about some of this your early career stuff, the focus on performance management, and then your later career stuff, obviously, what you've done over the last decade with the focus on technology and the technology processes. But when you look at all the skills that you're bringing to the Chief Management Officer's office, what set of skills that you're bringing from your time as CIO to this now your new time as CMO that's really going to benefit you the most? Can you point to one or two things?
You know, there's been this sort of common thread throughout my career that's been about large change management efforts. And frankly, that's what we're in the middle of. We're still in the middle of that transition from organizations that are organized, you know, strictly along vertical stovepipes, if you will, but that have processes that run end-to-end across those organizations. So the issues about how do you effectively deal with change in big organizations, how do you work across organizational boundaries, how do you deal with the people aspects of cultural change, how do you deal with, like, the fundamental issues of trust and personal control, which frankly are at the heart of so many of the reasons why we continue to operate in less than really efficient ways. And those are all, I think, the skills that I've honed over my career, both from my pre-CIO kind of life and clearly in the kinds of CIO work that I've spent a lot of time working on. So I think that will be really helpful. I think it's always also helpful to have maybe people that can help translate between the technical side of the business and the mission result side of the business. And so often we fall into that problem where we have like two separate conversations. So we have a conversation about mission effectiveness or, you know, what it means to optimize financial management or personnel management and things like that. And then we have a completely separate conversation about things like information security. And the technical conversations about architecture and security seem to have in the past always sort of devolved down to jargon-ish conversations that maybe isolate you from the rest of the organization that actually needs to embrace the tenets of what you do. So hopefully I can help with that continuing translation that, you know, for example, security is everybody's business. And if you actually had the mission owners working with the security professionals, you could get to an effective risk management strategy for the organization rather than some of the risk avoidance processes of the past where we don't stop to think about that a security approach might shut down access that would, you know, avoid letting people be able to rapidly get the job done, and having that conversation in a more thoughtful way with a common language, et cetera, could maybe create a better way ahead.
I think that time and again is what you hear is that one of the biggest stumbling blocks when you get to big projects is that can the translation be made from technology to business? So I think that's going to be a great attribute that you bring to your new role. Unfortunately, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about your old role as the deputy CIO at DOD. You are listening to Ask the CIO at Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dave Winogrand, the Defense Department's Deputy Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Dave Winogrand, the Defense Department's Deputy CIO. Now, Dave, before break, we talked a lot about some of your skills. We talked about some of the things you've done with the CIO Council. Let me ask you, over your decade or so between the two CIO offices you've worked at, the Navy at first and then OSD second, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen over your career in IT?
It has been a fascinating journey of change, and the pace of change just continues to increase and increase. And so, you know, it's almost dizzying at times, but it's been a great ride for me. And as you look at it, you know, we've gone through this fundamental shift in what the world of technology presents to us, that there has been this democratization of technology that has occurred, that what used to take computer programmers days or weeks writing code to develop can now be done basically overnight by a young Navy lieutenant or Air Force major, or just you can mash things up, you can post things so they can be reused features and improved, and you can get these capabilities so much more rapidly. And that's a fundamental change that sort of moves away from the whole way we've organized, because we've organized ourselves around this idea about systems and systems views of architectures and systems acquisition and system certification and accreditation. So this fundamental shift from that in today's sort of Web 2.0 service-oriented world, that you can have the best of both of the past worlds. The world of a decade or so ago when everything was local, and the upside to that was speed, agility, and delighting your customer in a manageable scale, but the downside was everybody was duplicating effort at various locations, and everything was local, so there were these barriers to information sharing. And then the pendulum swung to this world of really big IT systems that became so big that they became really slow and failed to delight everyone and maybe lost some of the innovation speed. But in today's service-oriented world where you can have these core services delivered for everyone, I don't need multiple directory services or multiple machine-to-machine messaging services or multiple attribute services. You can have one corporate service for each of those things, and then local people can build web services immediately to meet their needs, and they can post them and have them be reused. And so you bring this speed and innovation and agility while you also manage to have an alignment of purpose. And I think that will be a profound opportunity for us. I look back, you know, last week was the 10th anniversary of the issuance of the first Department of Defense Common Access Card, our smart card with the public key infrastructure digital certificates. And so I got an email from Mary Dixon, the director of the Defense Manpower Data Center, who is, you know, has been my partner in that effort and has owned the card for this whole time. And I thought, man, seems like only a blink of an eye on one hand, but it was an amazingly different time back then. A decade ago, you know, huge issues about, well, could you provide a common service for everyone? Because we would be far worse off today if we'd had 100 smart cards or 50 PKI solutions, none of which would have been interoperable.
Let me ask you, because one of the things that you bring up, but you don't necessarily come out and say, is talk about this idea of net centricity. That was a big buzzword in DoD, the idea of moving to a net-centric world. And things kind of changed over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. It's not so much that it's not net-centric, but it's information-centric. Has that been kind of a big shift for you to get your thinking around it? Or is that something that kind of it was a more of a obvious, more of a natural flow?
So often, I think the words that we use, they start off as interesting words to get us to think differently, but then they sometimes hamper our thinking. And frankly, the whole world that I just described to you is all about what the people who first imagined the net-centric operations were talking about. The data could be decoupled from applications and systems, and so it could be available to be used and reused. And you could do things like maritime domain awareness, where you take the data out of legacy systems, you immediately overlay it on Google Earth, and now I can get on any DoD computer with my common access card and immediately see any harbor in the world and see all the commercial vessels and their cargoes and crews. That's a great example of what net centricity means. Sometimes, like you say, we stumble because when we say things like the global information grid, the originators of that word, that phrase, were thinking all about that it's more than just the networks, it's about the information and the people. Likewise, net-centric operations is all about the data and the people, but we oftentimes collapse back to the things that we know best, and so we sort of substitute net-centric with network-centric, which then makes us maybe think more about tactical networks than it does about the information-sharing aspect of it. But the prize all along was, as you said, it's about an information-centric world where information is a strategic asset of the department, and our prize is that we can share that information effectively and instantaneously with the right people at the right time, even unanticipated users, while we also think about security differently so that you could secure the information while you're sharing it rather than have your security thwart your sharing. And so those, I think if you had all the founders of net-centric thinking here on the phone with us, they would say that's exactly what they were looking for. But as you point out, you know, it's sort of a language change enabled and facilitated by this whole sort of Web 2.0 phenomenon that sort of helped people to understand that the world could look a lot more like my Android operating system on a Droid or my iPhone with the App Store, that's the way you could find things and get things delivered in the hands of the users much more quickly than we used to.
All right, sir. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been a pleasure, as always. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Dave Winogrand, the outgoing Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Department of Defense. Dave, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time.
My pleasure, Jason. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.